When Admiral Jonathan Richardson took over as Chief of Naval Operations late last year, he insisted on some changes to the Navy's vocabulary. In particular, he's not a fan of the word dominance. And so, for example, Vice Admiral Ted Branch is now the Chief of Information Warfare instead of the Chief of Information Dominance. Branch spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Servu at the Sea Air Space Conference about what that switch to information warfare means for the broader Navy.
Well, what we're really talking about is warfare in the information age. And the practitioners of information warfare that we used to call the Information Dominance Corps, we really did the logical step of rebranding them to the information warfare community. Mm-hmm. And the practice that they pursue is information warfare as opposed to a pursuit of information dominance. We've been thinking about doing that for some time. It makes more sense to a lot of people when we speak in terms of information warfare and the information warfare community. Admiral Richardson didn't like the term dominance in any field,
right,
and not just information but others, because he, in his words, he thought it implied we're finished, pencils down, we're dominant. And he recognizes quite correctly that we're far from dominant in this space. It's something that we have to continue to work and evolve and get better at.
As a practical matter, does it change the way the community operates or the way that you think about what is now called warfare?
No, not the way this community thinks about warfare, but it helps us be more recognizable to the rest of Navy when we put it in terms of information warfare and not information dominance. We're elevating information as a warfighting domain that's analogous to undersea, surface, air, space warfare. And in fact, our position is that if we don't get it right in the information domain, which includes electromagnetic spectrum maneuver warfare and cyber, if we don't get it right there, then what we do in those other domains with aviation, surface, undersea, probably won't matter, because the fight will be lost before it's ever joined.
Right. And I know CNO has given you a new project called, I believe, Task Force Netted Navy. Can you talk about what your tasking is there and what you're going to be doing?
My first meeting with CNO Greenert when he was taking over, he asked me the question, okay, Twig, who's in charge of making sure that everything can talk to everything else? And I said, well, CNO, I guess that would be me, but we're not very good at doing that right now. There were a lot of, several efforts about integration and interoperability of systems to weapons to sensors to platforms, but they weren't a collective effort. They were in pockets, and it was not a broad reach. So what we've done just recently, it's very new, is stood up a task force. It's being led by an SES on the staff, Margie Palmieri, who's gathering experts from across the domain to talk about what the drivers are that will drive data standards and make everything talk to everything else. So the theoretical limit of that would be any weapon could be targeted with data from any sensor, and that the network nodes would be able to work to get the information from one to the other. That's a big reach from where we are now, but that's where we're trying to go in terms of architecture and standards and specifications to allow that kind of connectivity to exist.
And importantly, I think that integration is not just about IT, it's about everything and every portfolio. So what are the biggest barriers to achieving that vision, you think?
Well, obviously there are a lot of silos of excellence, you know, in the different programs and the different warfare areas. And all those people are coming into this team to work their piece of the puzzle. The other thing is, we didn't build the programs with that necessarily in mind, and there's no new money into the program. You know, the program manager looks at that and they say, okay, well, I'm happy to work on that. Where do I get the extra money to add into this old program to do that? Mm-hmm. So we'll have to cross that hurdle and decide how we can adjust programmatically what's already in the program to enable that kind of perhaps modification or perhaps some kind of interpretive capability between systems to allow that connectivity.
And so would you see the task force at some point transitioning into some kind of permanent organization that is the clearinghouse for data standards across the entire Navy?
I think that would be a logical next step. We won't preordain that. The task force has 4 months to report out on where we need to go as a way ahead, and they started their work this week. So we'll see where they go in 4 months and see what the logical next steps are. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of organization set up among the systems commands and acquisition authorities to continue this path into the future. Mm.
And another task force we've talked about before is the former Task Force Cyber Awakening, which has now become the permanent cybersecurity division within your office within the last year, really. Talk about what you think were the most important takeaways from TIFCA, and to what extent has Navy cybersecurity started to address some of those findings?
Well, TIFCA was started in a bit of a, I'll stop short of saying crisis, but we had a watershed event that caused us to stand up the task force. And the reason we initiated the task force was there were a lot of efforts, a lot of work in the Navy working on cybersecurity, but they were disjointed efforts and not focused. So Task Force Cyber Awakening was designed as a lens, a focusing mechanism to bring all those efforts together and move down the same path. We started with the network, the outer wall of the network, and shoring that up to counter that situation that caused us to kick it off. We did that with a lot of commercial technology, and that gave us some space and time to look deeper in the network, and we found quickly that we had needs for sensing and segmentation and the ability to fight within the network to inhibit or to instill resilience. So, like industry, we use the protect, detect, react, restore model for resilience in our networks, the ability to segment those networks, sense what's going on in there, and then fight through any kind of bad action that's going on and continue to execute the mission. The Navy Cybersecurity Division is a follow-on to that effort. It collected good people from various entities to continue that work. And it's a lot about standards and specifications and designing in cybersecurity instead of bolting it on after the fact.
And so I think one of the end goals there is for those super critical systems to be able to declare them, as you say, cyber safe, a la subsafe. Are we at the point yet where some of those systems have reached that level?
We are going down the path of cyber safe. The Information Assurance, Information Technology, Technical Advisory Board, the IAIT TAB, is in the business of creating specifications and standards for cyber safe systems. They are well down that path, and all the different systems commands, we've had CyberSafe office test drives. Each systems command will have their own CyberSafe organization, and we've proven out the concept, we've proven out the procedures and the way we will do business. We've started down the path of establishing those standards, so the program is ready to run, and in fact has started running. We haven't finished the standards, but we're I think 3 of 5 CyberSafe standards complete, and then about 20 of 40 cybersecurity standards are complete now out of the IAIT tab.
Got it. Okay. In our last couple minutes here, I wanted to talk about cyber effects. I wasn't able to listen to your talk yesterday, but some of the accounts of it quote you as talking about the fact that the authority to use cyber effects is at a pretty high level right now. What are the questions that you think need sorting out in terms of authorities as this domain of warfare continues to mature?
Well, what I said yesterday is it's obvious to me our future will entail cyber effects through the RF spectrum, the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. And we have equipment that we're putting on ships and platforms, planes, other things that will enable those kinds of activities. So then the question becomes, at that tactical level, will the unit commander, the operational to tactical commander, have the authority to, say, fire right. and create that effect? That's work to be done. Right now, we haven't evolved to that point, and the cyber authorities for offensive cyber effects are held at a very high level in the organization, even in the government. So that's policy, really policy work that has to continue to mature that concept. The other thing that I said yesterday is there is a temporal aspect between electronic warfare and cybersecurity. Electronic warfare and cyber, offensive cyber. I think if you have an effect created in real time, either by a burst of energy or by a packet of information, you can pretty much lump that into electronic warfare as opposed to cyber. So there's some definitional work that has to be done there about where that line, that blurred line should be drawn, and then who can order that effect.